Within a very short time of the creation of my very first email account, something like 15 years ago, I recognized I started receiving random notices, email announcements that there were apparently millions of dollars available to transfer to my account. All I needed to do was respond and provide my bank account information and perhaps pay a transfer fee, and millions of dollars would come pouring into my account. Fortunately, I recognized immediately it was a new variation and an old scam. But the amazing thing is those emails have not ceased. They continue to come to me, new names, new countries of origin, but nonetheless, some wealthy individual has died, huge inheritance, and the heirs are seeking to donate these to me, and all I need to do is respond. In recent days, they've even been tweaked with Christian languages, using things and implying that they're Christian and they're seeking to invest in a Christian ministry of the nature of your church and things like this. So all these millions of dollars are available for your ministry if you just provide the information. Well, all of us recognize the reality that free money usually doesn't cost anything. If it's free, it doesn't cost anything, right? There's an irony there that just should slap us in the face that this is a scam. It's an ironic red flag that waves, and we see that. Should warn us that we're being taken. And though this sensibility works in our favor when it comes to our finances, sometimes it works against us when it comes to spiritual things, the arena of spiritual life. Because after all, when you stop and think about it, in the arena of the kingdom of God, there are various ironies that we encounter. The gospel itself has ironic dimensions. The cross itself is a great irony. And unfortunately, when we are faced with the ironic dimensions of the Christian life at times, our sensibilities start screaming at us that surely this can't be right. There's got to be another way. That sounds good, too good to be true. It can't be that way. And such is the case when we hear things like the gospel text today, when Jesus says, whoever would seek to save his life will lose his life, but he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. Our sensibilities say, really? Is that really the way it works? It doesn't sound like it should work that way. It sounds too good to be true. The payoff is too high and the cost is too great. It goes against our instinct for self-preservation. We're inclined to protect ourselves. We love our life and we seek to preserve our life, not to lose our life. But nonetheless, these things are true. This is the gospel. These are the words of our Lord. This is no scam. It's indeed a principle that works. And it's not a random principle. It's a principle that is demonstrated in the life of Christ himself. So many elements of Christ's life, of his very existence in this world, as he comes as a human being, are ironic. Christ, our God, the Creator, comes as one of his own creation, the incarnate one. Christ, our God, who fed the children of Israel manna in the wilderness. We were reminded of that story last week in the gospel text and the allusion to Moses. Christ, who fed the children of Israel manna in the wilderness, is fed as a babe, milk from his mother Mary. Christ, our God, who is the master of all, comes not as the master of all, but as the servant of all. Christ, our God, who is life immortal, gives his life on the cross. Christ, our God, by his own death on the cross, defeats death. Who would think that that's the way to defeat death through death? You avoid death to defeat death, right? But no, it's through Christ's death, death is defeated. Death is trampled down. See, not every ironic thing that we encounter in life is a scam. Certainly, the ironies of the kingdom of God are for our salvation. The ironies of the kingdom of God lead us to life eternal. But we can't be reluctant. We can't be hesitant. We can't be distrustful. We have to put our trust and our faith in God. We have to commit ourselves to the process and surrender to these principles. And that process is one of ultimately following after Christ. We deny self, we take up our cross of discipleship, and we follow after Christ. We follow Christ on his path, on his way to the cross. We take up our cross, and we likewise walk the way of the cross. We embrace that ironic path of the cross, and it becomes for us a path of life. See, just as mankind became lost by love of self, so it is that we are found, that we are redeemed, that we are saved by denying ourselves. See, think back way to the beginning. It was the love of self, ultimately, that brought the ruin of the first man, Adam. He loved himself and thus chose according to himself. It was the love of self that brought about his ruin and the ruin of mankind. And it is still, down to this present day and hour, what contributes to ruin in our life. It is ultimately the love of ourselves. The love of self is what contributes to that ruin, even in us, down to this present day and hour. But the love of God doesn't work that way. The love of God is the path of salvation. And there is yet another embedded irony in the way of the cross. We are called to deny ourselves. We are called to take up our cross, which is a very personal and thing that we must do alone. No one can do it for us. No one can bear our cross. We have to bear our cross. No one else can bear it for us. We have to bear our cross. And yet, ultimately, when we take those steps on the way of the cross and we begin to bear our cross, what we discover is that we're not out alone. Because Christ meets us there in the midst of the experience, and Christ himself is there carrying the burden with us. It's a great exchange that takes place. We give up our burdens of sin, give up the burden of the worry of this world, and we take up some cross. We give up the love of self, and we take up the love of God. And the love of God transforms our very life. It makes the burdens of life lighter. So the call is ultimately for us to deny ourselves, to die to self, to give up the love of self, to lose ourselves in this way, in the right way. There are wrong ways to lose ourselves. There are unhealthy ways to lose ourselves. That's not what Christ calls us to, and those are not life-giving. Those, the end of those things are death. We lose ourselves and we are lost. But when Christ calls us to lose ourselves for his sake and for the sake of the gospel, it is then that we are found. This is losing ourselves in the right way. It's then that we are redeemed. It's then that we find salvation. We lose ourselves and what we find is real life. Life as God intended it to be. Life that is filled with hope and purpose. Life that is filled with God's love and grace. Life that is full of God's peace and joy. We experience the life of the kingdom of God. That's how life in the kingdom of God is. It's supposed to be, always has been. And that life is available and accessible to each one of us today. That's yet another irony of life, as the cross each and every day presents itself as a new reality for us to embrace. And we can take it today. It doesn't matter what yesterday held. If we rejected the cross and we went a different way yesterday, today's a new day, and today the cross is before us. There is a new opportunity to respond and take up that cross once again. It's not a scam. It's not false advertising. There is certainly irony in the cross. But it is real and it is true. And the only way for us to experience that life, life of the kingdom of God, is by taking up the cross as our own. It's by denying ourselves, dying to self, taking up the cross, giving up our life. And by doing so, we find real life. Life eternal. Life that is rich and meaningful. Life that is rewarding and full. Life that is filled with God's grace and love. Life that is truly more abundant, full of God's peace. See, this isn't an email scam. This isn't some advertising campaign. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we seek to save our life, we will lose it. That's the negative irony. But rather, it is in losing our life that we are found. That's the positive irony. That's the positive payoff. When we deny ourselves, when we give up the love of self, it is then that we find ourselves and we find the love of God. When we lose ourselves, when we lose our life for the sake of Christ, then we find life, real life, true life, abundant life, the life of the kingdom of God, life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.